Another one.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. And today's Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast is also brought to you by Draft.com. Use the promo code LOFANTASY to get a free entry into a draft with your first deposit. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall. Only three games on Tuesday for us to discuss, but we're going to discuss those, and then we're going to preview a very busy 11-game Wednesday. So
let's get to it.
Yes, let's get to it, Mr. Bolton. We will start, of course, with the monstrous line of the night. And once again, it goes to none other than Jim Harden of the Houston Rockets. Jim had 38 points, including three triples, six rebounds, 11 assists. He blocked a shot. He wasn't that great from the field, 8 of 25, which is under 33%, but a fantastic 19 of 19 from the free throw line. Harden is currently the second-ranked player in eight category fantasy leagues this season, pushing his way back up. Actually, he's equal number one with LeBron, just slightly below. So he's pushed ahead of Giannis, pushed ahead of Boogie, and he's now equal first alongside LeBron in the eight category fantasy rankings, putting up numbers very similar to what he did last season. Now, Chris Paul's return, which is likely going to come at the end of this week, will have somewhat of an impact on Harden, especially the 10.3 assists that he is averaging, but he is still going to be pretty much a lock for that top three or top four, I would imagine, for the majority of this season. Not much you can complain about. Getting to the line nine times a game, hitting 84% of those, averaging 31, 5, and 10 with four threes a game, over four threes, and 1.6 steals, putting up the fantasy goodness. Continually is old Jim Harden, and looks to have another big season coming his way. I don't think there's much that you can do to disagree with that at this point, given the way that he is playing. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Pat Mills of the San Antonio Spurs. 19 points for Millsy, 4 triples, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, but it was the defensive numbers that really pushed his value up. 4 steals and a block, 7 of 13 from the field, and 1 of 2 from the free throw line. It's not like Mills has been all that impressive this season. He is the 174th ranked player so far this year in 25 minutes a game, averaging under 9 points and under 3.5 assists. But some of that's because he's shooting really poorly, 37% from the field. Now, over his last three games where he's played 29 minutes a game, he's the 65th ranked player, averaging 13 points on 41% shooting. So still not great, but 41 is significantly better than 37. And not only does that improve your field goal percentage category, but it improves your points category also. And you're seeing that there is an extra 4 points per game better off because of the increased percentage. And also, he is taking more shot attempts as he's playing more minutes. Now, until Tone Parker comes back, which we're probably still a few weeks away, I imagine Mills sticks as the starting point guard. And then his minutes will drop off after Parker returns. So that is something to pay some attention to. For now, yeah, look, he's fine. If you want to go and pick him up in a 12-team league to get some short-term value, maybe you're not happy with Tyler Ulis or Mike James who you picked up, you can go and have a look at Mills and get those threes, get a little bit of scoring with some okay assists. But he's definitely not going to be earth-shattering. He's not going to be putting up fantastic numbers, and they're not going to last, probably won't last into 2018, where he'll become more of a 14 or 16 team league guy rather than a player who could have value in 12 teamers with Parker returning. But it has been a good reversal of form over those last couple of games, especially capped off by today's performance from Pat Mills. Now I'm going to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is the good folks over at Draft. All you fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try one of the newest and best daily fantasy apps, and that is Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you'll play real-life snake drafts with other people just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you've done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. In fact, if you do join up now and use the promo code, which is LOFANTASY, you will find a special locked-on league in the lobby that's continually filling, and you can take part against other listeners to this podcast and other listeners and hosts across the Locked On Podcast Network. Join in those contests there as well. The best part of all this is you can play for cold hard cash. Draft start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps, just a real live snake draft that lasts for only one day, just like you play with all your friends in your season-long leagues. Come and join in on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com, whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code, and that is LOFANTASY. That's right, play a real money game for free just for using my promo code LOFANTASY on your first deposit on Draft, and you will get access to those to that special free contest and that Locked On League, which will constantly be in the draft lobby. Snake Drafts, DFS, it's a perfect combination. Go and check out Draft and use that promo code LOFANTASY, of course. The young gun of the night goes to big Dredrick Tatum of the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum had 13 points with 7 boards, 6 of 15 from the field. It wasn't like it was an overly spectacular night from Tatum, but it was good enough to get the win. Actually, those numbers are completely wrong. I don't know why they come up like that. Let me rephrase what Jason Tatum's numbers were from today. 19 points, 2 triples, 4 rebounds, 3 steals and a block on 6 of 9 shooting and 5 of 6 from the free throw line. So apologies for that incorrect graphic that's there, but he was really fantastic once again. Tatum has looked awesome this season, and he is currently the 67th ranked player in season-long leagues in only 30 minutes a game. And as I've said numerous times on this show, I don't think that those minutes are really going away. Marcus Morris, even though he played quite well today himself, is not coming in and reducing Tatum down to a 20-minute a night role or a 22-minute per night role. He is going to be doing what he does. He's been extraordinarily efficient, shooting 49% from three, 50% from the field, getting his rebounds, doing the steals, and doing the blocks thing as well. Not at high levels, but 0.8 of each of those is pretty impressive. Scoring when he wants, hitting the threes. He's a really valuable option. He's a better fantasy player than what Jaylen Brown is. He's a better option than Marcus Morris, pretty clearly. And he's one of the, you know, probably the third best Celtic player in terms of fantasy value behind Kyrie and Al Horford, putting up some really good numbers. And those 3-point percentage numbers are going to regress. Over the last 4 games, he's down to 36%, but shit, 36% out of a rookie is still a very, very impressive number for that 3-point percentage. And if it wasn't for Ben Simmons, you'd have to say that Tatum was definitely the favorite for the rookie of the year at this point. At this stage, it's Simmons, and then it's no one really close. But Tatum is the clear number 2 for rookie of the year, I would say, at this point. He's been super impressive. A little bit worried about some of the falls he takes just in terms of injuries, and that's nothing major. We've seen him miss one game with an ankle. Just a little bit something there to pay some attention to. But his numbers are great. There's no situation where you should really consider dropping him. He's got some pretty nice dynasty upside. Now, I still don't think that he's one of the top 3 players in this draft class from a dynasty perspective. I still think that that's Smith, Fultz, and Ball as the top 3 guys. But he's probably pushed ahead of Joshy Jackson and maybe John Isaac, but probably not. I still like Isaac as the 4th guy there when we're talking 3-4 years down the track. But Tatum has been very, very impressive out of the gate here for the Boston Celtics and for your fantasy leagues, of course. The dud of the night goes to his teammate, and that is Marcus Smart. Just the 6 points for Smart, 5 rebounds and 2 assists. Quite horrid, 1 of 8 from the field and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. There's a lot of debate about Marcus Smart. Yeah, he's murdering your field goal percentage, shooting 28% from the field. But if you drafted Marcus Smart, surely you had that in mind. And you said, well, he's going to be a shit shooter. Now, he was 36% from the field last year, and I anticipated that he would improve that this year. He might be able to get to 40. Might. But when I was drafting him, I wasn't banking on it. And even if he gets to 40, it's almost a punt field goal situation anyway. But I wasn't banking on him getting to 40. I was going, well, if I'm drafting him, it's going to be in a punt field goal type setting. And then everything else, yeah, 9.6 points, not ideal, but 4.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.2 threes, 77% from the line. They're all okay. The percentages are horrendous. A true shooting of 41% is horrific, even for Marcus Smart. It's career worst. I do imagine that those percentages will come up. He won't continue to shoot 28 from the field. He won't continue to shoot 28 from three, although the 28 from three, maybe. He won't shoot it from the field. Those numbers will come up. Then the scoring pushes up to 11 or 12 points per game, and he becomes an interesting player. Now, in a roto league, while he is going through this significant shooting slump, benching him might be the best way to go for that field goal percentage. And you can afford to do that in rotisserie leagues. Put him on your bench, sub someone else in for a couple of weeks, and just sort of stash him and see how it goes. But the other numbers are good. The assists, the steals, the rebounds, the threes, all those numbers are good from Smart. It's just that field goal percentage is such a massive, massive negative. And if you can't deal with a field goal percentage, then you just drop. If you're in a head-to-head league and you can't deal with it, you just drop him. But again, that's something you should have been aware of when you were drafting him, that you know the field goal percentage is going to be a significant negative. It's worse this year. It will get better this year than what it is. But it was always going to be a pretty significant negative. That's the word. I was trying to find a bigger word to use there, but negative is the word that I do want to go to. Now, we are going to go through all these three games now in a little bit more detail, and then we're going to head off later and preview a massive, massive Wednesday in the NBA where there are 11 games coming. So let's get stuck into talking about these three games from Tuesday and breaking down those box scores in a little bit more detail. All right, the first game we're going to talk about is the Boston Celtics. They took on the Brooklyn Nets. Big lead early, the Nets came back. The Celtics end up getting the victory. Kyrie Irving returned from his one-game absence due to a facial fracture. Only played 29 minutes, wore the mask, had 25, 3, and 5. He's fine, nothing to worry about there. Al Horford was great, 17 and 11, while Marcus Morris did a lot of damage in the fourth quarter. Morris ended with 21 and 10 on just 12 shots, hitting 8 of those, so significantly efficient. As is true Marcus Morris style, he had 1 assist, 0 steals, and 0 blocks. When his big games come, almost invariably, if you go and have a look at what he does, it's high points on extraordinarily high and unsustainably high shooting. That's when his big games come from your overall value. You go, shoot, Marcus Morris, good game, 21 points, fantastic. Comes on 10 shots, comes on 14 shots, and it comes on 70% shooting. You go, well, that's not going to happen continually. Now, he's looked better in Boston than what he has in Detroit, but he's still only played 25 minutes a game. So I'm not rushing to go and grab him in 12-team leagues. If you've got a spot available, no problem. And that comes down to my definitions of must own, should own, fine to be owned. And again, if you sent me a picture of your roster and Marcus Morris was on it, I'd go, yeah, all right, fine, whatever. That's fine. We'll see how it goes. But the minutes indicators, the players playing ahead of him and playing well around him, like Vanilla Tice and Bainsey, who weren't all that good in this game, they're going to just cut maybe 2-3 minutes off that potential 30 minutes for Morris, and that is going to leave him limited. As for Bainsey, moved to the bench 0-2 with 2 blocks, while Tice had 3-7 in his 11 minutes, and Semi Ojeleye played 8 minutes. With everyone back, Terry Rozier went scoreless in 21 minutes. His 12-team league value is entirely dependent on one of those guards missing time, Brown, Smart, or Irving. If they all play, then Rozier is not a 12-team league player, in my opinion. Jaylen Brown had 14, 4, and 3 and added 3 steals and hit his free throw, so a pretty decent night from Jaylen. Also, on to the Brooklyn Nets, they made a change in the starting lineup. There was no Tim Mozgov starting. He was moved to a bench role and played only 6 minutes for 2 points, while Trevor Booker, he moved into the starting lineup, played 28 minutes, 12 and 8 with a steal and a block. I would recommend adding Booker in 12-team leagues. I think that this will stick. Now, I don't know if the change was made because Boston went small and played Horford at center, but Mozgov hasn't been good all season. Booker has outplayed him. They ran with multiple centers, Quincy Acey, Jarrett Allen, also getting playing time. So I wouldn't be surprised if Booker sticks in the starting lineup, and I'd happily take that chance and make that addition of Booker now, and let's see what happens over the next couple of games for the Nets. Mozgov's not a guy that's owned really in any situation, but Booker would be a player that I'd look to go and add. The blue swimmer was strong here, Alan Crabb, 15-2-4, 5 triples with 2 steals for Crabb. We know that this is a few and far between exercise for Crabb. He's still a 12-team league guy, barely, but this is the upper end of what he can do. And then he has the shitfulness that he did in the last game. Jumpin' Joe Harris, 20 minutes for Joe, 19 points on 5 triples, not a lot else. Now, normally he can get you some steals, but he, with D'Angelo Russell out, he is going to get more shot attempts. He's going to get a few more minutes. Not that the minutes really showed themselves here, but he is worth, as a streamer, like a poor man's Marco Bellinelli, which isn't saying a huge amount, but it's saying enough where you can add some points, you can add some threes, and there can be some sort of value there for Jumpin' Joe. Caris LeVert, I believe he's good. He's been really poor this year, mostly a factor of some very poor shooting. Now, he went 6 of 7 here and ended up with a 15-1-4 line with a steal, which is very, very good. But only 22 minutes. So I'm not rushing to go grab him in a 12-team league. I maintain that he's a better player than Alan Crabb, and he will become a better player than Alan Crabb. But when one's getting 33 minutes and one's getting 22, then Crabb is the guy to own. But LeVert is a guy to keep a really solid eye on at this point, because when the shot does start falling, and it's not going to be 86% each night, we're well aware of that, but he can add the steals, he can add some assists, he can hit some threes, he can be a rebounder, he can do quite a few other things apart from just score. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, 33 minutes, 16-9. Is Hollis-Jefferson going to be one of the Nets guys who gets over 30 minutes a night? I think that's going to be the case as we move forward. He's been very, very impressive this season. And as I said, Mozgov, just the 6 minutes. Well, Jarrett Allen returned from his foot problem, and he played 9 minutes right off the bat. So again, more than Mozgov. Let's move on to the next game, into the Toronto Raptors and the Houston Rockets. There was no Normie Powell, so we had a start from OG Anunoby, who played 30 minutes, a career high for Anunoby in both minutes and points, 16 points with 3 triples, 2 boards, and 1 steal. So he didn't really bring the defensive stats. He played very, very good defense on the court. And I think that there is a legitimate chance, a less than 50% chance, but a legitimate chance that Anunoby at some point this season supplants Norm Powell as the starting small forward. I think he would fit quite nicely next to guys like Valanciunas, DeRozan, and Lowry in that starting lineup, with his defensive acumen and his ability to do some stuff offensively. He looked really, really good. Not a 12-team league guy just yet, but I love his dynasty potential. CJ Miles got hot, 19 points, which included 6 triples and 2 steals. But still, with Powell out, he played only 17 minutes, so he is just a streamer, really, for those threes and steals. While Kyle Lowry, I just finished writing an article on Basketball Monster today about players who have had significant decreases in their free throw attempts and how it's impacting their fantasy value. And Lowry was one of those guys who averaged 6 per game last year and 1.8 he was at this year. And then he went out and got to the line 10 times in this one, ended up with 19, 5, and 10, and hit 9 of those free throws. And that's exactly the sort of value that's going to bump him back up from where he is outside the top 60 to being back to a player that's a top 35 or a top 30 guy. He's looked much better over the last couple of weeks. And again, that early season panic is starting to be resolved. DeRozan had 27, 6, and 5, while DeLon Wright played 26 minutes, backing up at the 3, the 2, the 1, all those positions he plays, 14, 2, and 2 for DeLon. Jonas Valanciunas, that's 2 consecutive games under 20 minutes, 12 and 7 in 17 minutes, which is really good production, but it's 17 minutes. And this is the concern I had with Casey. I mentioned that someone had a go at me, or not a go, just a quote, man, why don't you like Valanciunas? Love him. I think he's really good. It doesn't matter if I love him. I'm not the one playing him 27 minutes a night. Well, I'm not the one who's got the ability to play him 27 minutes a night. Casey's got that ability, and I think it's going to be a struggle for him to see 23 minutes a night as we move forward. Now, I'm still just holding Valanciunas at the moment, but it's not looking great, especially when you're playing this gigantic rotation. Bebe, who knows what Casey's doing with the backup center? It changes literally every game. 6 minutes here only for Bebe, while Jakob Poeltl played 14 minutes and had 7 and 3. So owning Poeltl and Nogueira is really tough, even in deeper leagues, because it could be 3 minutes one game, 15 minutes the next. And overall, you know, you're averaging that out to 8 minutes a game. It's probably not enough in most situations, and that makes it really hard to get a handle on what's actually happening with that rotation. Onto the Rockets, massive game from Trevor Ariza, 20 points, 8 boards with 5 triples and a steal. He's been much better over the last week or two. It will be interesting to see when Chris Paul comes back how much this affects Ariza. He took 11 shots, which was only one less than Eric Gordon for third most on the team, and you would have to imagine he does move down the pecking order, and some of his value will dip a little bit when Paul returns. Clint Capela, only 29 minutes, but I don't care. 11 and 11 with 2 steals, another strong night there, while Tariq Black filled in for Nene with 13 and 7 in 18 minutes, and that is literally a performance that is not going to have any impact in any type of setting. Ryan Anderson, someone did message me today. I'm owning Ryan Anderson in the 12-team league. I think I'll get rid of him. Do it. There's no reason to own him in 12-team leagues, really. Well, Luke Marmute hit 2 threes in 31 minutes, pretty much providing the same value that Ryan Anderson does. Wasn't a great Eric Gordon night. 12 points on 12 shots. He'll be better, but his production is going to dip with Paul returning, and PJ Tucker got ejected in one of those revenge game scenarios where he had 0 points in 16 minutes. So long live the revenge game for PJ Tucker. The last game of the night, the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks. Joffrey Laverne was ruled out before the game, and then halfway through the game, he's actually playing. So Laverne made his return to action after 10 games out, 5 minutes for him. With him returning, you're going to have fewer minutes for guys like Brandon Paul and Davis Bertans. We had only 10 minutes for Paulie here, and Bertans played 5, and when Laverne gets back to 15, 16 minutes, they could be out of the rotation completely. LaMarcus Aldridge, 32, 5, and 4. Your sell high window is still open on Aldridge. If people are buying this level of production, which I'm not. Kyle Anderson, 34 minutes, 7 and 8, 2 blocks. We know that he's just going to drop off the map completely when Kawhi returns, whenever that is. And Manu Ginobili didn't see the court at all in the first half and then played 16 second half minutes. Now, it is a back-to-back, so it's some sort of management rest principle. I'm not sure, but it was a weird distribution of minutes for Manu. DeJounte looked okay, 10 and 7 in 20 minutes, while Powell only had the 10 points but added 10 boards. And Rudy Gay, 16 minutes for Gay. That's two games in a row under 20 minutes. I do not think that he is a 12-team league guy, as I've mentioned many times. Dennis Smith, 27 and 6, 5 triples, 2 assists. Has to be owned. Pretty straightforward. Yeah, he's got a legitimate chance at a top 70 finish this season and really starting to look strong. The pencil Harrison Barnes added 3 steals, and that's always a bonus when he gives you that. Well, Dirk looked probably the best he's looked in a while. 12, 7, and 6 in 29 minutes for Dirk, but sorry, mate, I'm not sure that you're a 12-team leaguer. Dwight Powell was a weird DMP CD in this game. Nerlens Noel played 5 minutes, had 1 rebound, but I'm done with him for 12-team leagues. He's finished. Well, Yogi Ferrell went scoreless in a start in 33 minutes. Now, Yogi's got some value while Seth Curry remains out, but once Curry comes back, there's really going to be not much to see with Yogi. JJ Barea is also going to lose some value when Curry returns, but I think he should be playing equally, or if not more, than Yogi Ferrell. Barea had 16, 6, and 4 with 3 triples in this game. A nice performance, but he's better off left for the deeper leagues. Also, quick shout out to Maxi Kleber, who played 21 minutes and looked pretty good. 5 points with a block. I think that Kleber's European numbers look pretty solid. I've got him in a couple of 30-team leagues, so he's someone to watch, especially if Dirk, you know, starts sitting out games or they start changing things up with the Mavericks. But Kleber's an interesting guy to pay a level of attention to if you're in a very, very deep league, of course. All right, that does it for all of the action from Tuesday. Wasn't a long segment because there wasn't that many games on. What we're going to do now is we're going to transition. We're going to start talking about DFS, the 11 games for Wednesday. So we will do that. And to help us transition, we're going to be listening to a song by Justin Mayhew called... Which one will we put on? We'll put on Justin Mayhew, A New Morning. Let's take a look at the perfect DFS lineup for Tuesday. On FanDuel, Kyle Lowry had 41, Pat Mills had 39.6, Jim Harden 55.7, and JJ Barea had 30.2. Trev Ariza 34.6, CJ Miles 32.2, LaMarcus Aldridge 50, and Jason Tatum 34.8, while Al Horford came in at 32.7. And that gave you 350.8 points for a total of 59,300 on DraftKings. Harden 62.5, Spencer Dinwiddie 37, Miles 32.25, Dirk at 31.75, Aldridge 48.75, Lowry 43.75, Ariza 37, and Pat Mills at 37.25 for a total of 330.25, and that cost $50,000. All right, let's move on. There are 11 games on Wednesday, so... Yeah, lots and lots of DFS options, of course. Might be even too many. That's something that does happen on these larger slates, but let's try and break down what we think might happen in these games and try and get some value out of it that way. The first game is the Utah Jazz traveling to the New York Knicks. The Knicks are favored by 4.5. What a weird situation to think that the Knicks are favored by 4.5 against the Jazz. The total is 205 points in this one. Let's look at the point guards. Jarrett Jack is at 3,500. I don't care. He's not putting up any sort of numbers. The guy you want to look at from a Knicks point of view is Frankie Ntilikina. Now, he is at 4,600. He's been exceeding that value most times that he's played, averaging 25 over the last 3. The issue I would have is just the lower pace. The Ricky Rubio, if he decides to play defense, could be a problem for Frank. But if he gets the steals, then those numbers can come. So I don't love Frank, but he does have some value, at least more value than what Jarrett Jack does. As for Ravishing Rick Rubio, he's at $7,000, and the numbers haven't been kind to him at all. For as good as Ntilikina's defense has been, point guards have done decently well against the Knicks. so far this season from a DFS point of view. So you could consider Rubio in a GPP. I think his ownership will be pretty low, but I wouldn't be falling over myself to go and add him. At shooting guard, Rocket Rodney Hood, 5,000. He's a tournament option here, no doubt. While Donovan Mitchell at 6,200. Now, we all love what Donovan Mitchell's been doing, but that's really, really expensive. So I would look at Mitchell maybe as a tournament guy. He went off for 48 in the last one, so that's enough value at that sort of a price tag of 6,200 to use him. But I wouldn't feel great about him having a 30-point floor. So he's more of a tournament type of a guy. Timmy Hardaway at 6,600 has been putting up some pretty big numbers, but that's another bump in price for him. And in a slower-paced game, I would leave him as a fade. While Courtney Lee at 4,600, I really like him for cash. I'm going to get 25 out of him. It feels like pretty much every night, which is almost exactly what you need at that price, enabling you to go with some of those other high price players, whether that's a Russ Westbrook, a Paulie George, a Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, getting Lee in there at a cheaper price can actually work pretty nicely for you. At small four, Jinglin Joe's at 5,600. Sorry, Jinglin, that's a little high. Tarbo's at 4,400. If they decide to start Tarbo Cephalosha, which he's going to be matched up against Kristaps Porzingis, could be an absolutely horrible decision, then maybe Tarbo's in action, but I cannot see them going and putting him in the starting lineup so he has to match up against Porzingis. So I think you're going to have low minutes for Tarbo. Now, I've been talking about the Jazz for a while and talking about how Joe Johnson was set to return. He was announced today that he's out for at least another two more weeks. So that value for Jonas Jerebko and Tarbo Cephalosha is a little bit more secure than what it was when we were thinking that Johnson was due back at some point this week. Doug McDirt is exactly that. At power forward, Kristaps Porzingis, 9,300, putting up some good numbers, but not quite at 9,300 levels. In the last 2 weeks, he's only gone to 5x half of the time at that sort of a price, which is okay, but I'm not sure it's enough to really lock him in as a must-own cash guy. But given, you know, what he can do and a relatively safe floor for Kristaps, maybe a 40-point floor, does give him some cash viability. Derek Favors at $6,000. I think they're going to have to play him some decent minutes here. Maybe they give more to Epe Udo, but at $6,000, it just is a little bit too high for Favors, who did have that big game against the Nets, but Kanter and Porzingis is a different front line to Tim Mozgov, so that could limit him. As for Jerebko, $3,200. I think that he will start, and I think that at 3,200, that is a definite GPP play for Jonas. At center, Udo's at 3,100, GPP as well. What if he has to play extra minutes because Kanter and Porzingis get these guys into foul trouble? That's a problem. Well, Enes Kanter is at 6,900. Good minutes lately, big production. Still don't 100% trust it, but I feel like this is a matchup against his former team. And if you want to read anything into that, by all means. At 6,900 for Kanter, I'm not hating it. I feel more secure in his minutes in this game than I do in other ones, but I still think that that's probably just a little bit too highly priced for Enes Kanter. The Cock Monster's at 3,900, and you can only ever look at Kylo Quinn as a GPP guy. Over on DraftKings, some tournament options. Rubio's at 6,700. Tarbo's at 4,000, which is more tournament-y, but again, I think there's an element of risk there. Well, Don Mitchell's at 6,100, a similar situation to as he is on FanDuel. For cash, Rocket Rodney Hood, 48. Frankie Ntilikina, 39. Love that price of Ntilikina at 3,900. Really, really strong. While Courtney Lee at 4,300 is a good one. Porzingis at 8,900. Probably a little bit better option on DraftKings and FanDuel. While Hardaway at 64 and Derek Favors at 56 are also much more appealing over at DraftKings as opposed to what they are on FanDuel. Let's move on to the next one now. It is the Washington Wizards and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 1.5. Feels a weird one. I think I'd be taking the Wizards in that one. The total is 210.5 points. Let's talk point guards. Tyler Johnson's at 4,600. I don't have any confidence in his production or his minutes, and they've bumped him up by $600. So that is a fade. The iron shoulder, Goran Dragic at 6,800. I feel confident that Dragic is going to give me 34, 35 points pretty much every night. So I'm in on him at 6,800. While Johnny Wall at 9,500. The matchup, not ideal, probably somewhat of a fade given it's an 11-game slate. Shooting guards, we've got Deion Waiters at 5,800. Been putting up some really, really strong numbers, but more of a GPP guy than a cash guy. While Bradley Beal at 75, I think he's a really strong cash play at that sort of a salary. You go to small forward, Joshie Richardson, 4,900. He had 33 points in the last one and didn't even do much offensively. Only scored 15 points, but it's the defensive number. So I do like him for GPPs. And then for the Wizards, you've got Kelly Oubre at 4,600, who's coming off some strong performances of his own, but not really someone I'm all that interested in. Same with Justice Winslow at 4,400. For the power forwards, Jimmy Johnson, 6,200. Hasn't been anywhere near that recently. He does have the ability to go above it quite clearly, so he's a tournament type of guy, while Kelly Olynyk is not someone that I'd want to use. While Otto Porter, 6,700. Love what Otto does. That's just too high, and I just have no interest in using Otto Porter nor Markieff Morris. At center, Hassan Whiteside, 8,800. He's been putting up pretty consistent numbers recently, getting to 40 on most nights. And at 8,800, you couldn't really ask for too much more than that. Now, the Wizards have been a tough team for centers to go up against so far this season, so that could limit Whiteside to a degree, but I'm still pretty interested in him. And I am the opposite of interested in Marcin Gortat, despite the 31 points he's coming off in the last game. If we flip this over to talk some DraftKings, Joshie Richardson as a GPP guy at 4,800, I like. And then for cash, you got Whiteside at 8,000, Johnny Wall at 87, which is much stronger than him on FanDuel. Down Waiters at 58, Bradles Beal at 72, and the Iron Shoulder at the 6,800, the same price that he is over on FanDuel. So there's some DraftKings options for the Wizards and Heat game. Sacramento and Atlanta is our next game. The Hawks are favored by 3.5, and the total is 205 points. Ersan Ilyasova has been upgraded to probable, so he's likely going to return. Delaney and Bellinelli are both listed as probable as well, which they have been for about the last 3 weeks, while Mike Muscala is doubtful for the Kings. Vince Carter is questionable with kidney stones. If he is out, the minutes just will get distributed, 2 minutes to every player. They don't have, as I said yesterday, they just don't have anyone that is playing big minutes, and they are an absolute shit show of a team for fantasy purposes, especially. At point guard, Dennis Schroeder, $7,000. Hasn't really been at that level much recently, but I'm in on him here. I think a 30-point game is almost guaranteed, and 35 shouldn't be that much of a stretch. And on the other side, you've got De'Aaron Fox at 5,200. He's getting more minutes than George Hill most nights, but the production isn't quite there, so he's only a GPP player at this point. Georgie Hill at 3,800. Well, I think you have to consider him. He had 26 or 27 in the last game, looked more assertive, and at 3,800, all he needs is 20 points to really give you some level of value, and a 30-pointer shouldn't be considered too hard for Georgie Hill, so I'm okay getting him involved. Malcolm Delaney's getting some minutes, but at $3,000, I don't really see massive upside in him. At shooting guard, we've got Buddrick Hield, $4,600 for Buddrick. He's been relatively consistent, in fact, more consistent than pretty much any of the Kings players, so I'm okay using him in cash. Garrett Temple's at $3,900, not really for me, while Bellinelli at $4,300, also pretty consistent. So a couple of cheap shooting guards in this game, which should be able to find their way onto cash rosters. Kent Bazemore at $5,700, just really putting up massive numbers, averaging 35 over his last five, which at $5,700 is really, really good salary. I'm in on Bazemore. At small forward, Taurean Prince at $5,700, totally fine with using him. It's a good matchup for him. No real concerns about him getting to the 27-point mark here. And then we've got Justin Jackson at $3,000. Minimum salary, getting 25 minutes a night, so maybe you could consider him a GPP guy, but his production hasn't led us to think that he's really going to get anywhere near enough to smash through that value level. At power forward, the Baptist, John Collins, is at $4,800. Hasn't really been doing much lately. This is a very, very good matchup, though, against the Kings. So I think that he is a tournament play, as is Lukey Babbitt at $3,300, even though Ersan Ilyasova is back. Babbitt at $3,300, get me my 20, get me my 22 points. I think that's a possibility. Then he pays off that salary. Zebo's at 5,000, and he'd been putting up some okay numbers. In fact, had 26 in the last one in just 23 minutes. I just don't feel fantastic about him. While Scal at 3,700, the upside is there for Labissiere. He's been at 25 minutes for each of the last two games, and a 25-26 point performance, I don't think should be too, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise if it comes about. At center, the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, 5,400 for Dwayne. Good matchup, much like Collins. I wouldn't put much faith in him in cash, but in a tournament, I would definitely look at it. While Kufos and Corley Stein, they just don't do it for me, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. I know that really must devastate them. On DraftKings for tournaments, there's a lot of Kings guys here. Labissiere's at 3,800, Georgie Hill's at 39, The Baptist at 48, The Undertaker at 51, and De'Aaron Fox at 51. And then for cash, Taurean Prince, 51. Schroeder at 68, I really like. Bellinelli at 41, I also like. Bazemore at 54. And Budrick Hield at 5,100. A bit of value as a cash play there over on DraftKings. Let's move on to the next one at Chicago and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The last time these two teams played was an absolute smashing, of course, in the favor of the OKC Thunder. A few things to talk about. Steve Adams is doubtful with that calf contusion, and Melo is questionable after missing the last game with his back complaint. Lauri Markkanen is probable. He left the last game at halftime. He said he was going to be fine for this. I imagine he will. He's listed as probable, so he should be good. While Chrissy Dunn has been named the starter. So fire up your Chris Dunns in standard leagues, and he's going to have some value here as the starter for the Bulls in this one. Justin Holiday is also out in this one for the Bulls, so there is going to be some usage and there are going to be some minutes go around on the wings. He's out for personal reasons, so that is important. Russell Westbrook has not returned 5x value on the $10,800 salary, which is where he currently sits. He has not reached value in that in the last 2 weeks. Now, we know he can go off, so I'd look at him as a GPP guy, but it's really hard to trust him in cash at the moment. Kay Felder's at $3,000, and with Holiday out, he's going to get some minutes, so maybe you could look at him as a tournament guy. And then you've got Fat Face Ray Felton at $3,200, there's not much to see there with Felton in terms of upside. At shooting guard, Chris Dunn, $6,100, a significant price rise for Dunny there. He's been putting up good numbers, but I actually feel pretty good about using him in this starters role, while Andre Robertson I don't feel good about. Other shooting guards, not much to talk about. At small forward, Denzel Valentine, $4,900. I think he's more of a tournament guy. He's giving you consistent like 22, 23 points, but I want a 26 or 27. And I think he can do that, hit some threes. Not a great matchup for him with Paul George potentially guarding him. And speaking of George at 9,000, really, really killing it. 54 average over the last three, 47 over his last five at $9,000. I think he's totally fine. The problem I have with it is that if they're up by 40 at the end of three quarters, he might not play enough minutes to bring back that sort of value. So I'd probably leave him as more of a tournament type of guy. And if Mallow is out, Josh Huestis at 3,100, someone that you could consider. He put up some good numbers in the last game, 20 points in 22 minutes, and maybe at minimum salary or almost minimum salary, he's useful. Paulie Zipser, who's been starting, has been bad, averaging 5 points in last three games. He's at 3,200, probably a guy that I wouldn't want much to do with. Mallow at 6,800. I think if he plays, he's an okay cash guy, but we still have the query there. While Bob Portis at 5,300. Punchin' Bob at 5,300. Some good numbers for him. In the last one, a little bit more representative of what he actually is. 30 minutes, 24 points, which is, you know, much, much less than what he'd been doing previously, where he was at, you know, a ridiculous level of production. The 5,300, I guess I look at this one and go, it's likely to be blowout situation. So Portis could get more of those junk time minutes, giving him a few extra minutes and some more shots. And especially in a situation where Justin Holiday's out, someone is going to have to take a massive, massive chunk of shots, and Portis could be that guy. So I do like him at 5,300, even if I'm not a massive fan of him overall. Lauri Markkanen at 5,800. Maybe a tournament look there for Lowry, but at that sort of salary, considering they are limiting his minutes and his shots are going down, what is wrong with this organization? Great article actually written on ESPN. I wish I could remember who wrote it. But I did tweet it out last night or this morning, just talking about the absolute shit show that is this organization. 4,700 for Jeremy Grant. 28 points in 34 minutes with Mallow out in the last one, so that makes him valuable if Carmelo Anthony is out, of course. At center, Robin Lopez, 5,400. If Steve Adams is out, which it appears like, then I don't hate Lopez in a cash game. And then the other guy you look at is 3,600's worth of Dakari Johnson. Now, I probably wouldn't be interested in Dakari, but he's putting up decent numbers. Nothing that's really getting me excited and nothing where I'm really looking to lock him in or anything along those lines. Let's have a look over on DraftKings at this one. For tournaments, Russ is at 10-8, Denzel Valentine at 4-3, Felder at 3,000, and Jeremy Grant at 43. And for cash, I like Paulie George at 8,500, a very good price. And Chrissy Dunn is a brilliant price. 4,900 for Dunn over on DraftKings is a fantastic price. And he'd be a guy that I'd consider starting my lineup with. And that's massive for me to say, because I don't think Chris Dunn is very good at all. But opportunity, the way that stats are produced in this format, really does lend itself to Chris Dunn having a pretty significant role at that sort of a price on DraftKings. Indiana and Memphis. The Grizzlies are favored by 4.5, and the total here is 209. Mike Conley is questionable with his Achilles, and maybe this Achilles is what's actually impacting his field goal percentage. We've seen people who come back from Achilles tears not be able to get their field goal percentage back up to what it was before. I think Brandon Jennings shot a negative percentage when he come back, because he didn't really have too far to go down from his pre-Achilles field goal percentage. So that could be impacting what Conley's going through. If he is out, then you look for more Tyreek, more Mario Chalmers, some more of those other wing or guard guys. Maybe Andy Harrison comes back. Maybe you see a little bit more Ben McLemore in there as well. So that's the situation we need to pay attention to for the Grizzlies. At point guard, of course, Conley is here, 6,700. I wouldn't feel great about using him. Now, it is a really good matchup for him, and he's done well against the Pacers in the past. But when you're questionable with an Achilles and it's not the first game of the night, really tough to roster him in any cash setting. Darren Collison at 5,200 has been struggling. And Corey Joseph at 4,200 has been taking some of his minutes, but I don't want any of those guys. I like Victor Oladipo a lot, 7,400 for Vic. I think 35 points is a realistic expectation for Vic, while Tyreek Evans gets a massive boost if Conley's out. But even if Conley's in, 6,800, Tyreek's just putting up numbers whenever he wants, and I'm not sure that the high-paced Pacers are really in position to slow him down or stop him. So I do like Evans here. At small forward, we got Jim Ennis, 3,600, putting up about 15 a game, which is not far off where you want him to be. If Conley is out, I might look at him as a tournament guy, while Bojan Bogdanović is always just a tournament guy. And Dylan Brooks at 4,300 seems to have that starting shooting guard job on lockdown, averaging 27 over the last three. I actually feel okay about him in cash also. At power forward, Jermichael Green is going to play his first game for the season. He's at 4,100, but is he going to play 30 minutes? Probably not. Is he going to play 20? Maybe. 4,100, you could have a look at him as a tournament, but I think given the fact that he's missed since the first 2 minutes of the first game with an ankle problem, he will play limited minutes in this first game back, which is a shame because it is a really good matchup for him, and he doesn't have much in terms of competition going up against him. As for Domantas Sabonis, 5,500, I don't really think that's worth too much looking at. At center, Marc Gasol, 7,500, love it. Miles Turner at 8,000. Don't love it. Don't love him going up against Marc Gasol at all. He's been a little bit quiet and much less than $8,000 worth of value. And if I can spend $500 less and get a player who's probably going to outproduce him, I will. So I will take Marc Gasol over him here in this one. Let's flip it across to DraftKings now. For tournaments, Miles Turner, much better. 6,700. Fantastic value for Turner. You could probably even consider him cash apart from the Gasol factor, but love him for tournaments over on DraftKings. And then you got Corey Joseph at 3,700 is also appealing. For cash, Gasol's at 75. He's strong. Oladipo at 71 and Tyreek at 66, while Dylan Brooks comes in at 4,300 and he has some good value over on DraftKings as well. The Toronto Raptors on a back-to-back, traveling to take on the New Orleans Pelicans, second time they've met in about the last week. The Pelicans favored by 3.5, and the total here is 217 points. Rajon Rondo will start. Etuan Moore will go to the bench, but Rondo is only going to play about 15 to 16 minutes. Tone Allen is questionable after missing the last couple with left knee inflammation. In the last game with Allen out, we saw Darius Miller get more playing time, a bit more for Ian Clark. The game before, it was Sheck Diallo. So it remains to be seen exactly how those minutes will be distributed. But remember, Rondo's got to get them from somewhere. So if Allen's out, imagine Rondo just takes majority of his playing time. Jrue Holiday killed the Raptors the last game. He is at $7,000. I'm fine to use Jrue Holiday at $7,000 here. He dropped 52 against the Raptors just a week ago. Well, DeLon Wright at 3,400 would be interesting to have a look at if Norm Powell remains out. We don't know that yet. I would look at DeLon in that situation. While I love Kyle Lowry at 7,700, a decently strong game from him today. Rondo, just no, not at this point. At shooting guard, DeMar at 8,100, I'm fine with. Powell at 3,700, I really doubt that Norm Powell plays, to be honest. Well, Etuan Moore at 4,700, I think his ownership will be very, very low, and he's coming off a string of very strong games. So I would look at him as a tournament guy that maybe could drop 30. In fact, he's averaging 32 over the last three. So I think that he will get minutes at the expense of Clark and at the expense of Miller, even though he is moving to that bench role, and I think he is worth having a look at in a tournament. At small forward, CJ Miles at 3,100, tournament option for sure, especially if Powell is out, while Tone Allen and Dante Cunningham don't do much for me. OG Anunoby, 3,200, yep, it's a great price. Powell looks like he'll be out. Anunoby will start, mid to high 20s in minutes. Love using Anunoby in that type of a situation. At power forward, Serge Ibaka is just not doing anything. He's at 5,300 and it's a shit matchup, so I'll probably fade Ibaka, while Tone Davis at 11,300 is pretty much always a strong option. I understand the hesitation of using him in cash, but for tournaments, he is really hard to go past. At center, Boog, 11,900. Yep, all in there. Valanciunas, not against Boog. Sorry, mate. He does have a good record against the Pelicans, but with the way the minutes have been limited recently, I'll probably fade Jonas and Poeltl and Noguera. Maybe look at Bebe at 3,200 as a tournament guy. If they want to throw him in there to give Boogie some shot-blocking problems, I can consider Bebe. And in fact, I'd consider him over Valanciunas and over Poeltl if I am constructing a tournament lineup. On DraftKings tournament, the only one I have a look at really is Ibaka at 5,100. Then there's a bunch of guys that I do like for cash. DeRozan at 76, Lowry at 73, Tone Davis at 10.5, which is very, very cheap. Drew Holiday at 66 and Boog at 11,100. All right, let's go on to the next game now. We're going to be looking at the Detroit Pistons and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 4, and the total is 208. The tackle box, John Lua and Stan Johnson, are both questionable for the Pistons in this one after missing the last couple of games. Lua a little bit longer than Stan Johnson. Now, in the last game without these guys, Luke Kennard really stepped up, played big minutes, and had a big performance. Or Reggie Bullock was the starter, but he'd been outplayed in the last two games. So Kennard will be an interesting GPP guy to look at. Maybe you could have a look at Bullock in that situation, or Galloway also, but they are just GPP-type guys. At point guard, I like Eric Bledsoe at 6,400. It's not a high price. It hasn't really got things cracking 100% yet for the Bucks, but at 6,400, I'm definitely interested in him in a tournament. Well, 6,300 for Reggie Jackson. It's okay. I don't love it. It's not a lock-in situation or anything like that. Ish Smith, nah, I'm good. At shooting guard, Chrissy Middleton, 7,000. Just not ready to go in on a lot of these Bucks guys yet. Brogo's at 5,700. Played only 19 minutes in the last one, but that was due to foul trouble. But I'm not really feeling him at 5,900. A little bit cheaper. If he was 5,000, I'd be much more interested. While Tone Snell's at 35. He is a tournament guy. Can hit 7 threes and do nothing else, but that's enough at 3,500. Avery Bradley, a little bit too expensive, I believe, at 6,100. Kennard, as I said, had 26 points in 28 minutes in that game with Stan Johnson out at 3,200. If we hear news that Johnson's out and the tackle box is out as well, then Kennard at 32 would have a level of value. Yanni's at 12,200. He's been putting up some pretty good numbers, but that is a very, very high price. But if you can build in the right cheap guys around him, Adetokunbo is fairly reliable. In fact, his lowest score in the last five games is 50 points, which is not where it needs to be for $12,000. But when that's your lowest score, that's a pretty, pretty good floor for a cash game. Stan Johnson, Reggie Bullock, not really interested in either of those guys. At power forward, Johnny Henson at 5,700, I think that's a cash play for him. I'd be okay using him there. While Tone Tolliver at 34, nothing really to see. While the tackle box, the same thing. At center, Thon McCur, 3,300 for Thon, getting 20 minutes in each of the last two or three games. Not really translating to big fantasy numbers, but he did have 16 in the last one. The Andre Drummond factor could be an issue for Thon, so I'm not really feeling too much for him. While as for Drummond against Henson and McCurr, he should be able to have a pretty decent performance. 9,400 for Andre. A 45-point performance, I don't think should be considered too far out of the reach of possibilities. And big men against the Bucks have had some pretty decent success so far this season, and there's no reason Drummond can't be among that group who has the success as well. On DraftKings, Bledsoe at 63, Brogo at 53, and Middleton at 65 are all GPP guys, whereas some cash plays, you've got Adetokunbo at 11.3, Drummond at 9,000, the Muppet John Henson at 4,700, and Toby Harris at 6,700. Let's now move on to talk about the San Antonio Spurs and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Spurs on a back-to-back also. The Wolves are favored by 5, and the total is 209.5 points. We don't know if Gorgui Dieng is going to play or Cole Aldridge, but honestly, if Dieng doesn't play, no one comes into the rotation. All we see is Tibbs playing everyone 40 minutes. And that would be, if we hear that Dieng is out, then Taj Gibson is going to play 40 minutes. And that's going to make him valuable. And the value of someone like Karl Anthony Towns skyrockets as well in that situation, even though he will be playing the Spurs. At point guard, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
6,500 for Teague. Probably a little bit too high, especially in a non-ideal matchup. While Pat Mills at 45, tournament only. He's really struggled to get anywhere near that value that we saw from him today. So I wouldn't be expecting on a back-to-back for him to go out there and really light it up. At shooting guard, Wigo's at 6,200. Does decently well against the Spurs. I'm okay using him here to get the 30-31, which is, I think, fine for cash for him. Jamal Crawford's minimum salary had 16 in the last one, but the minutes just are dwindling as Tibbs decides to play his starters every single second of every single game. So the 3,000 for Jamal Crawford, I'm not really excited there. Manu at 4,000, assume that he plays, but maybe he doesn't. Who knows what Pop's going to do? Hard to use him. Same with Dan Green at 5,100. At small forward, Jim Butler, 7,400 is a moderate increase in price, but not enough to turn me off using Jim. I am in on using him. He had 48 in the last one. Really like this one. While Kyle Anderson at 5,200. I just feel at 5,200, Kyle Anderson's going to get me 27. And that's everything that I want at that sort of a price. Rudy Gay at 53. No thanks. At power forward, Taj is at 48. Even if Jeng does play, 4,800 for Taj. I feel like I'm getting 25 out of him pretty much no matter what. And then there's 30, 32-point upside. So I do like Taj Gibson here. While LaMarcus Aldridge at 8,300, I feel like a 40-pointer is not going to be a massive, massive stretch for Aldridge, especially if Carl Anthony Towns is going to be guarding him, because Aldridge will be able to just dominate. At center, Towns is at 9,600. I'm in on him in this one. Not always in on him, but I am totally in on him here. I think it's a really decent floor spot with a high ceiling also. While Pau Gasol at 6,200. On a back-to-back, I'll probably end up fading Pau in this game. On to DraftKings. No real GPP-only guys that I love here. A few cash plays like Jim at 6,900. Townsie's at 88, which I really like. Kyle Anderson at 45. Taj at 49. And Aldridge at 82. All have some value over on DraftKings. Let's move on now. The next game is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Charlotte Hornets. The Cavs are favored by one, and the total is 219. Nick Batum is back, and Nick Batum is starting for the Hornets. They do have Julian Stone and Trevion Graham, who are doubtful, but they wouldn't play anyway. And for the Cavs, Derrick Rose is questionable with that ankle problem that we've had kept him out for the last 4 or 5 years. So if he is out, Iman Shumpert will likely start. More minutes for Jeff Green, more minutes for Kyle Korver, those sort of players. At point guard, Kemba, remember, guards have been tearing the Cavs apart. Kemba's been playing well. He's at 7,800. Love it. This is as easy a matchup as it gets, as dumb as that sounds. I love him at 7,800, Kemba Walker here. I wouldn't be using Derrick Rose even if he did happen to play. At shooting guard, Dwayne Wade had a big performance in that last one against the Knicks, scoring 35, but prior to that, he'd been fairly putrid. So at 4,800, I'm not really getting involved. While the plumber, J.R. Smith, 4,300. Consistently good recently. 25-point average over his last three. I think he's more of a tournament guy, but I wouldn't be hesitant in using him in cash at this point. Batum's at 6,000, and that's just too expensive for a bloke making his season debut, and we don't know how many minutes he's going to play. Kyle Korver's at 3,700, 32 points in that last game. You'd be loving that if you took that 3,700. He is always a GPP play, while Jeremy Lamb at 5,600. With Batum coming back, Lamb's going to slide to the bench most likely, and he's going to lose a decent chunk of minutes. So that's a no from me. Same with Monk, Shumpert, and the Baconator. At small forward, Kid Gilchrist, 4,500. That's nothing that I want there at all. LeBron at 11,300.
LeBron James.
Yep, I'm in. He averages, the last three times he's played the Hornets, 65 points. That is crazy. I am in on LeBron. I'd prefer him to Yanni. I prefer him to Russ on this slate. Jeff Green at 3,800. We've had our one good Jeff Green game, so you can probably just pack that away now for the rest of the year. Frank the Tank's at 4,000. Nah. Marvin Williams at 4,400. Nah. Kevin Love, I'll get to him in a sec. Jay Crowder at 4,000. Also nah. At center, you got Dwight Howard, 7,700. I think Dwight has got an ability here to put up some big numbers against the Cavs, but I'd only be looking at him as a tournament guy. While you got Cody Zeller as someone who I would fade, and Kevin Love at 7,200. I am in on Kevin Love here. Struggled in the last game, but I think that he can have a significant role and potentially get up to 40 points in this matchup. It'd be good to see if he could do that. Over on DraftKings, now, tournament guys, you've got Korver at 3,700, you've got Love at 74, you've got the plumber J.R. Smith at 4,200, Dwight at 72, and Nick Batum much, much cheaper. So he is in play as a tournament guy. 4,600 for Batum on DraftKings, definitely worth a squeeze there. For cash, Kemba Walker 74 and LeBron at 10,900 are your two guys that I feel really strongly about over on DraftKings. Two games to go. Let's have a look at the next one, which is the Orlando Magic and the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers are favored by five, and the total is 210 0.5 points here at point guard. We're talking about Damo Lillard. He is at 9,500. It's a pretty decent matchup for Damo. Hasn't quite been where he needs to be, but I feel okay about using him in cash. Not as strong as some of those other guys at that higher salary range though. While Lord Alfred Payton is a fade at 6,800, Shelvin Mack at 42 is probably a little bit expensive. Shooting guard, CJ McCollum at 6,900. Totally fine with that. I think that's really good value. Well, Terry Ross at 4,300. Maybe a tournament guy, but I don't even like his upside at that sort of a salary. But he did have, you know, some solid-ish games where he can get you 20 points, but at 4,300, it's just not enough. John Simmons at 4,500, been much more consistent. Get you those 25 most nights, which I think is more of a cash option. So he's in play. Fournier is too expensive. Turner at 46 is not bad, but there are better options out there. And Mo Harkless is giving us as close to nothing as you can get. Big Az Gordon, 7,300 for Azar. Hasn't quite been at that level. And I think that he is a strong fade here on this road trip. While Caleb Swanigan started the last game, put up 18 points. He's at 3,100. You get 18 points out of 3,100. You should be feeling okay. So consider him a tournament pool guy, a GPP guy. And a really good ease matchup for him here also. Vonleh also looks strong in the last one. 29 points at 4,100 is a really good return. I have limited faith in him, and I'd probably take Swanigan's upside, and I'm getting him for $1,000 less. At center, 8,100 for Yusuf Nurkic. He is averaging a paltry 21 points over the last three games. This is a tournament-only type of play, but I don't really love it. I like Nick Vucevic at 78. I like Mo Spates at 34 with John Isaac already ruled out. Those guys do have some value. Spates, of course, as a GPP option. Over on DraftKings for this game, let's take a look. Tournament options, Terry Ross at 3,600, a much more palatable price, while Mo Spates is at the minimum 3,000, and then some cash options, John Simmons 46, McCollum at 7,000, Lillard at 89, Vooch at 71, and Yusuf Nurkic at a much, much better 6,700. Love that price for Nurkic over on DraftKings. Hate it on FanDuel. So a big, big difference between Nurkic on the two sites. Let's move on now to the last game of the night. It is the Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Sixers are favored by 3 after just beating the Clippers. The total is 219.5. Jared Bayless and Jahlil Okafor are both doubtful, with Bayless likely out. Dario Saric will get another start. He'll probably play 30 minutes, but he was piss poor in that last game against the Clippers. At point guard, McConnell, 5,100, probably a little bit too high in my opinion. Not feeling that. Whereas Lonzo Ball at 7,300, the Sixers have been really tough against point guards this year. Simmons and McConnell providing some good defense. I think that Lonzo, with his ability to contribute in many different categories, is a GPP play at that sort of salary. For shooting guards, JJ Redick at 5,000 really shit the bed against the Clippers. He is more of a tournament guy. While Jordy Clarkson at 42, I don't think what Clarkson can do is sustainable, but at 4,200, I'm pretty sure he can get that value most nights. So I'm in on him. Caldwell Pope, no thanks. While Luau Cabarro, minimum salary, minimum production. At small forward, Brandon Ingram, 5,700, has been doing pretty much nothing lately. Tournaments, you could have a look at him, and I wouldn't be too surprised to see him exceed that value, but I wouldn't lock him into cash. While Bob Cub at 6,800, just averaging the casual 39 points over the last three. I feel pretty good about him against the Lakers. Not really sure who's going to be able to slow down what he's able to do. At power forward, Saric is at 4,500. I'd only look at him as a tournament guy. Randall at 53 is too high for a guy that might not get to 20 minutes. While Benny Simmons, 9,800, that's very, very expensive. Now, he can do it, and you could definitely consider him as a cash guy, but I'm just not totally in at that sort of a price. While future MVP Kyle Kuzma is too expensive at 6,200. For the centers, Brooke Lopez, 6,100. I just don't know which Lopez is going to come out. I think he's got 35-point upside here, so I look at him as a tournament guy, but I wouldn't have any confidence. Well, Joel Embiid at 9,700, he played 36 minutes against the Clippers. Now, I don't think he'll get 36 here, but I think he could absolutely smash and drop 60, 65 points is a realistic upside. So I like him for cash, and I really, really like him for tournaments. That does it for FanDuel. Let's just look at that on DraftKings as well before we wrap this up. Tournaments, you've got JJ Redick at 4,800, Ingram at 56, and Brooke Lopez at 53, whereas for cash, you've got Embiid at 86, which is brilliant, Simmons at 91, which is much better, and Bob Cov at 6,300. Over on DraftKings, let's have a look at some of the other sites quickly. On Yahoo, some tournament options, tournament-only options, Denzel Valentine, Terry Ross, Scal Labissiere, Jim Ennis, Thabo Sefolosha. And then we'll have a look at some cash plays. You've got the process Joel Embiid, Benny Simmons, Karl-Anthony Towns, Kyle Anderson, Frank Ntilikina, Courtney Lee, the plumber J.R. Smith, Chris Dunn, Ballinelli, Corey Joseph, an option on Yahoo, Dylan Brooks, the Muppet John Henson, and Don Mitchell. On Moneyball, we've got for tournaments McConnell, Lopez, Richardson, Westbrook, Šarić, Felder, De'Aaron Fox and George Hill, Rocket Rodney Hood, Eric Bledsoe, all with some tournament upside on this slate of games. For cash, we've got Chrissy Dunn and Jim Butler, Dion Waiters, Joel Embiid, The Baptist, Kemba Walker, Mark Gasol, Benny Simmons, Townsie, Wigo, Schroeder. And they're the major ones we look at on Moneyball. Let's go to Draft Stars. Tournaments, Jermichael Green at minimum salary in his first game back is worth a look. Mo Spates, Brandon Ingram, Eric Bledsoe, the future MVP, Brook Lopez, Denzel Valentine, Frankie Ntilikina, the plumber. And then we look at some cash options. Boogie, Tone Davis, Yanni, LeBronald, Carl Anthony Towns, Benny Simmons, Kemba Walker, Joel Embiid, Dwight Howard, Russell Westbrook, Yusuf Nurkic, and TJ McConnell. Don't forget, check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network and today's sponsor, which is Draft.com, and use that promo code LOFANTASY for a free entry into a cash contest. If you are watching on YouTube, subscribe and give me a thumbs up and leave a comment and follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. Subscribe to the show wherever podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and of course, Spotify. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Gordon Haywood.